You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
And our special returning guest, Joe.
I'm special.
Yeah. I should probably call you co-host, but I'm waiting until we have the music guy on. I haven't invited him.
That's fine.
Again. And then once we have him on, then you can come back
on,
Joe.
That means showing up is optional still.
Yeah, and then you'll be the...
I think John always felt that showing up was optional.
Co-host. John came quite a lot.
Not once I started. I started to kind of feel like he just didn't like me.
Maybe he was like, well, you know, the podcast is in good hands with Jennifer, so I can sort of step back and, you know, sort of a podcast... What is it? You know, Professor Emeritus, or however you pronounce that, Podcast Emeritus, or whatever. Oh man,
department chair.
Yeah, you know, when I edit this podcast, I listen to it, and then you know, edit out swearing or things like that. But I listen to it at 120% speed. Sort of get through it quicker, and we're really funny at 120% speed. Like, I mean, Alvin and the Chipmunks kind of like
have a couple of drinks, listen to it at 120% speed. Yeah. We are really dead on funny.
So someone accused me of being a high talker, but if you listen to it at 120% speed, you know, 20% quicker, then it's definitely like, anyway, Jennifer, what was I saying? Oh, really? And your laugh is great. So if you have a chance, listen to it sometime. It's we sound much better.
I don't know how to do that.
You can actually do that on your on my iPod. You can actually get it to actually go a little faster.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't do it.
Do tell how. Little iPod.
It's one of those menu items.
Oh, is it? One of the crazy menu items.
I just discovered it one day.
Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. Do you know, I was looking at my new iPod because I switched, and it has like crazy features like a trivia game.
I have a little Nano and it does that too.
Yeah.
Wow. It plays a clip of a song and you guess which song it is.
Yeah.
It's like those infernal electronic dictionaries the kids all have that have games on them.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't let my kids use them anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I know. You think they're being so keener.
Now
like,
my kids are bringing Nintendo DSs to class. Oh no, teacher, dictionary. Yes.
Yeah, that's
Nintendo doesn't make dictionaries. I can read. Yeah.
Nintendo DS is certainly, it's eclipsed the PSP.
Yeah.
When I used to talk about like what do you want, or you know, I want, and then one of my examples is always PSP, and now the kids just sort of look at me like,
what is PSP?
Jeez, old man. You're like, I'm talking about the Yardbirds or something. Like, you don't understand, man. Eric Clapton, you know, For Your Love, you know. What?
You know? That's groovy, man.
You know, the Yardbirds. Yeah, now PSP is just like, that's old stuff, man.
Yeah, actually, I had my students yesterday. I had all of the students yesterday. I was the only teacher for the last 3 days. Or it was Friday, sorry.
Okay.
And I had them make best and worst lists of 2007.
Oh, that's clever.
But actually, we ended up just getting through the best because that was sort of tough for them. And best of 2007, the most important events in the world.
Oh, yeah, okay.
One of them was Nintendo DS.
Yes, of course.
And another one was the song Tell Me.
Yep.
Yep. I was like, wow, so the war in Iraq is just right on out there.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
You know.
And Ben Ki-moon being elected, you know, head of the UN.
Making the head of the UN.
That's nothing.
The flooding and the earthquakes and stuff in Indonesia, whatever's going on there.
I think when we were kids, I don't think we were that well aware of world events when we were kids. I remember I was the only kid in my class who was aware that we bombed Libya.
Wait, we bombed Libya?
I'm just saying, if you're Canadian and a Canadian was the head of the United Nations, I mean, you would know about it, and that's all you would ever talk about. So I don't know. I'm surprised that whole Ban Ki-moon thing has been such a huge non-event among
Koreans.
Well, I will say
though, a couple of my students want to now become Secretary General of the United Nations.
Oh yeah, okay.
And whenever they say that in class, then someone has to translate for another kid. Who's the Secretary General? What does that mean?
Man. Ugh. Snack of the week. Do you like your Christmas present, Jennifer? I brought Jennifer
a
Christmas present.
And now I feel bad because I didn't bring anything.
No, you give me so much, Jennifer. That's
it's
spending $5 on you for a little plastic bottle is the least I can do.
I'm already trying to imagine different ways that I can use it.
It's like a laboratory. It's like one of those bottles you fill with like alcohol, and then you sort of press it, and it squirts out the little top.
So I'll just have to fill this with soju and squirt it in the drink.
Or something. Or, you know, water. Just fill it with water, and you can squirt your kids with it. Like,
ooh,
you know, cats or something.
I've actually had a squirt gun in class.
What's that?
I've used a squirt gun in class.
A squirt gun, yeah.
All the kids have fall asleep.
Our snack is like it's called pocket milk.
Pocket milk? Oh, that sounds yummy.
I know, I don't know. I do believe it's candy.
Okay. Oh, like milk caramel or something?
I don't know. It's just like a little candy thing. It's just candied milk. I really don't know.
It's original pocket milk.
Does it say original?
I wanted new improved pocket milk.
Except no substitution.
It just looks like a certs or something like that.
Yeah. Actually.
Yeah, lifesaver. Oh no, certs. Yeah.
It's a milk flavored lifesaver. Oh my god.
No, not just not milk, but it tastes like milk you've left out.
Dude, definitely.
Spit it out.
Oh god. Oh, excuse me.
It tastes like milk you've left out on your dresser overnight.
This tastes like the milk you left for Santa.
Exactly.
On Boxing Day.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
That was not a taste treat.
Oh, I think we all spit that one out.
Yeah.
It's milk. It's like you've literally poured milk in your pocket.
It is.
And then
let it ferment for a few days.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes. I mean, it's not sour, but it's that sickly sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like you took condensed milk. And let it harden.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Yum. But you know what? I did find a good snack this week by accident.
Oh, what?
And I meant to bring it today, and then I forgot. Concho.
What?
Concho is, it comes in a little box or a little can.
Okay.
And it's a little, like, cookie, a ball-shaped cookie.
All right.
And in the middle of it is a little bit of chocolate.
Sounds all right.
It is.
Is it Korean snack?
Yeah.
Traditional?
It tastes good.
It tastes good.
It doesn't taste artificial or anything.
Well,
some of the stuff, you know, you can actually taste the factory chemicals in the thing.
You can't taste the chemicals. It's kind of vanilla wafery or animal cracker texture and flavor.
Yeah.
And then with a little ball of chocolate in the middle. No, I mean, it's not Godiva chocolate, but it's not it's not as bad as, like, the mushroom chocolate.
All right.
It's better than mushroom chocolate.
Does everyone have a good Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Joe, your Christmas? Good.
It was pretty good. I'm trying to remember what we did. Oh, that's our new thing. We just got installed internet TV.
Oh.
Hana TV? Do tell. Give us the details.
The free trial?
Yeah, we got the free trial, but I think we're going to keep it. Now that I've found out, you know, the installer told us, there's no way you can watch regular cable after installing this. And so I said, come on. You know, there's got to be a way. And John kept telling me, no, don't change it. And just the other day, I switched some wires around and doo-doom. Wow, you're such a genius.
Switch some wires
and
around.
So that's now we're able to keep it because now she can watch her dramas live. She hates waiting a day or two for her dramas.
Okay.
Okay, so give us the details on internet TV.
Well, what's great is you can choose what you want to watch. There's really only like one commercial at the beginning because it's trying to buffer the load time.
Oh.
And so everything's commercial free. But the big plus on this is that you get a lot of English language TV shows and movies with Korean subtitles.
Oh, and this is good, especially if you've been reading in the news. You know how we have all those channels with all those great American TV shows on them?
Yeah.
Apparently, all right. The reason that AFN is going off of cable TV is because the other stations have just been helping themselves to that content
and
just replaying it without actually spending any money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My AFN has finally gone away. It was like semi scrambled for a while. It was bizarre. I think my cable station is sort of a stopgap. They just sort of scrambled the channel.
Yeah.
But you can still get the audio. And I don't really watch the television. I just have it on, right? It talks to me. It's my friend. It's warm. Pretty colors. You know? And it's better than, you know, ficus or something. I don't know. So, I don't have to water my television. So, so it just scrambled for a while. But finally, it's gone away. And they replaced it, by the most exciting channel in the universe. Like,
The Math Homework Channel.
Yeah, basically the Math Homework Channel. It's just a guy in front of a blackboard.
I miss my old apartment. I used to get the Belly Dancing Channel.
Really?
Awesome.
The Indian Belly Dancing Channel. Oh, that was nice.
Do you get the Lingerie Channel?
No, we get nothing. We don't get any English channels at all on our basic cable.
There's some channels, I swear, it's like every 4 hours they become a new channel.
Yeah.
And and at night.
That may be.
Yeah. And at night it becomes like the Lingerie Channel.
Is that Donga?
Yeah.
I used to have that.
Yeah, it's just like they just have like lingerie fashion shows.
Yeah.
From I don't know, like midnight till 5 a.m. or something. I don't know. But I don't even know what it is before it becomes the Lingerie Channel. It's like.
You just know that suddenly.
Yeah, it's just something
else. Lingerie Channel.
Yeah.
Partially naked women on TV.
Exactly. I don't know.
And so, how much is the internet TV?
It's less than $10,000 a month.
Oh wow.
Really?
Yeah.
But
really.
But the shows, you have to pay for the shows you download?
Some of them you do.
Okay.
Like fresh off the boat, you know, like Heroes, you got to pay for Prison Break.
All right.
The latest
Coffee
24.
Prince. Can you get Coffee Prince?
What?
Coffee Prince? Can you get Coffee Prince?
What's
Coffee
that
Prince?
Regular TV?
Oh, you don't know Coffee Prince?
I don't know Coffee Prince.
Oh, it's this year's my lovely Kim Samsung.
Oh. See, I haven't really. Yeah. I haven't checked all the Korean dramas on there.
But
also, like, there's a big wealth of like good old American movies that you can watch.
And how much does it cost for like the premium stuff that you have to pay for?
It's usually just $1,000 or $2,000.
Well, that could add up.
That can add up. Really, the only thing we paid for, we watched Transformers.
Okay.
You know. But I like going through. I've been watching so many classic shows like Breakfast Club and Meaning of Life.
Okay.
And actually, just for the fun of it, turn on Xanadu.
Olivia Newton-John.
I was like, is it as bad as I remembered it to be?
Yes. Every bit as bad and possibly
even worse. I think it's one of Gene Kelly's last movies.
Poor thing. Like,
I know.
What a way to go out.
It's like one of those ways. It's like oh God, here I go, forgetting names again. Citizen Kane guy.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles. Oh. Orson Welles' last bit was the voice of the big bad planet-eating robot in Transformers movie. The original Transformers movie.
I didn't know there was an original.
Yeah.
Was it a cartoon?
It was a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
It was a cartoon movie, and that was the last thing he did before he died.
Poor guy. You know, one of the funniest things I saw was it was like Oscar night, and Michael Caine won for Hannah and Her Sisters. But then the person, you know, like it was Best Supporting Actor, and then the person has to announce, Michael Caine cannot be here tonight to accept his award because he is on location filming Jaws 3D. And you're like, wow.
Yeah. Somebody needed to make rent.
The only other good award show moment I ever saw was the Canadian version of the Grammy Awards. Junos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Leonard Cohen won for Best Male Vocalist. And are you guys familiar with Leonard Cohen?
I have seen him play.
All right. And he gets up on stage, accepts the award, and he's like, only in Canada could I win Best Male Vocalist. He's not really much of a vocalist. He kind of more just reads his lyrics. But
he was entertaining. I enjoyed the show when I saw him play.
Mean topic. Just getting other work in Korea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, we've got to say that none of us have ever done work off our visa. This is just information.
Oh, you're talking about off visa work.
Yeah,
I thought you meant non-teaching
visa
work.
Off visa work. Well, I mean, almost any work you would do here would be technically illegal.
You can get a visa. I actually have two visas.
You can get other kinds of jobs.
I actually have two visas.
Really? What's your other visa?
I have an E7 visa for doing EBS work.
Oh, okay. EBS, Educational Broadcast System. Oh, cool. Okay. All right. I guess technically you can apply for the visas or get your visa, get permission for.
You can. Your school just has to give you permission, and it has to be written on your card.
Oh, and it is a bit of, oh gosh, lots of red tape to go through sometimes because, you know, every time you go, depending on which day, the immigration rules change.
Oh, yeah.
You always have got to bring something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally, EBS had to bring the big bosses down to the immigration to Omokyo.
Wow, okay.
And I just got a call later, okay, it's fixed.
Oh, wow. And what's the E7? What's that?
I think something like
entertainer
performers?
Entertainer. Actually, it's some type of English teaching visa.
Education.
Teaching visa. It's the same visa that Christopher Paul Neal had. But
really?
Yeah.
Oh, not the E2? He wasn't on an E2?
Yeah, he was on an E7.
Shit.
Some foreign school, teaching in a foreign school.
Okay,
maybe for, like more real teachers maybe versus
yeah, something
right,
like that.
Right, because university professors are on E1s.
Yeah, okay.
Unless they're working at like the University Hogwan.
I'm trying to remember what entertainment was. Oh, I forget.
Yeah.
That'd be really funny though if you were on the same visa as the Russian dancing girls.
That would be great. That would be great. I would have something in common with them.
Wow.
That would be great.
Well,
comrade!
When I was in America, high-tech professionals, your H-1B visa, but it's for high-tech professionals and supermodels. That's what the H-1B was for. So I always thought that was kind of funny because, computer nerds and supermodels, other than maybe if you're Paul Allen, the other guy who founded Microsoft.
Yeah.
I think he was, stalking some supermodel for a while, Paul Allen. I'm the second richest man in the world. Why don't you date me? But I thought it was kind of funny because it's like, well, but there is an intersection in terms of, maybe diet and hours you like to keep and, things like that. I don't know. other work. But just every now and then on the teacher message board, I always see people who are like...
they're always looking.
Yeah, well, how do I, is there other jobs I can do in Korea besides teaching English? And the law, the short answer is no.
When I went to Australia, the woman who did my immigrant visa interview had originally been a Hogwan teacher.
Okay.
So I thought it was really funny because my interview consisted of complaining about how horrible Hogwans were.
Oh, okay. And then she was like, I know what you're saying.
Well, no, she was like, oh, it was so horrible and I really hated Korea. And then I got this job.
Ah, okay.
And so it was mostly her talking.
Oh, all right.
Quite a different story than if you're trying to move to the U.S. on a spouse visa.
I always love those job interviews where the guy interviewing you is just complaining.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're just sort of sitting there. I've had some of those. But that's sort of a short answer. No. But the long answer is, it's editing work is sort of the other principal.
Oh, that's where you're going to.
Yeah, the other sort of principal job you can get is editing work. Then the question is, how do you get editing work? And my advice is always make friends with Korean translators, people who translate Korean to English. And one, they're always looking for jobs. Mm-hmm. They're really paid crap. And so they're always hungry, so they're constantly looking for work. Mm-hmm. And if you're their friend, if they see editing jobs, they will recommend them for you. And as well, usually when they translate things into English, it's not really perfect, depending on the translator. So then they always need a person to sort of come in and, native speaker to sort of smooth out the English. And so that's why it's sort of good to get to know translators. You might have to sort of help them out a little bit initially for free, you know, just befriend them on MSN or something like that, and they will bombard you with constant questions, and, but eventually they will start tossing you paid work. But yeah, that's usually kind of a good way. But that the editing work can sort of vary in terms of pay. Some people are happy to pay well. Some people have certain ideas about what your time is worth.
$2,001 an hour is about right, huh?
Well, you know, I'm
throwing a cup of coffee.
I mean, a Korean to English translator probably is working for something close to that, like $5 an hour or something like that. There's a big supply of them,
And yet, one cannot really see that much evidence of their work.
Well, that's the thing, that there's a huge supply of people who claim they can do it, right? And so, you know, people are like, well, why should I pay $30 an hour when this person will do it for $5 an hour, right? But if they don't know what they're looking at, is this crap or is this good? They don't care. Right. It's just going out there.
Low bid wins.
Yeah. So that's kind of the way to go about it. You know, network, get to know people. As I suggested in times past, is you know, go where Korean professionals like to have coffee, things like that. And you know, they'll see you, and eventually, you know, someone will come up to you eventually and
try to look a little smart.
Yeah.
Don't look like you just came backpacking from the Himalayas.
That's true too. Yeah.
You know, hang out on Sunday in a, you know, tie.
Exactly. Or, you know, have a copy of The Economist or something like that. Yeah.
Look like you're busy at work, but not too busy to be approached.
Exactly.
Working on something intellectual.
Yeah. Joe, have you done editing?
Not much editing. I've done, okay. You know, do writing.
Okay. What kind of writing? Like, oh, like for the publications, like.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's how do you get that sort of work?
They approached me, but okay. Really, you can solicit people right away. There are lots of little magazines. Most of them don't pay that much, but
right.
It's a little extra money.
Okay.
And if you're really ballsy, you can really try to pitch ideas to overseas publications.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. But even the local magazines just try to pitch them ideas.
Oh, a lot of places will actually give you a good practice, too.
Right.
I mean, they don't give you good pay, but they give you a good experience, good
right.
resume fodder.
Yeah.
Artie Long Magazine, of course, Soul's okay.
Right.
Let's see. Rock on if you're desperate. Eloquence is not bad. It's a new one.
Yeah, that's new.
Yeah.
All right.
And the ones like Eloquence, they do occasionally advertise they're looking for people.
Yeah. 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 So you can always get help doing that way.
Right. Okay.
If you actually had the big stars in your eyes and you want to go on TV or radio or something, now I do know for this. I know EBS. If you can read Korean or you know someone who can help you, they do advertise jobs for foreigners on their message boards.
Okay.
So you can
the EBS that. Message board.
Mm-hmm. And you have to go in and audition.
Ah, okay. All right.
If you can find the studio somewhere, you have to go somewhere and audition.
The Korean Herald, their printed edition. I don't know how many times a week they run it, but they have like a little bulletin board, and there's always a help wanted, and sometimes interesting little jobs sort of turn up in that. That's always something to look at, the Korean Herald. But as far as sort of being in North America and applying for those jobs, that's much harder, because I always say it's like there's like, you know, the 17,000 ESL teachers here, and out of the 17,000, about 17,000 would rather do something else than teach. And so you're basically competing with all of us
here.
Yeah, exactly.
Are immediately available for interview.
Exactly.
And the person can see.
Yeah. So your chances of sort of getting a non-teaching job that's like, you know, editing or writing when you're in North America is probably slim. You know,
not to be fly yeah. over here. They're
yeah.
not going to fly you over here and house
no,
you.
No,
exactly.
No
yeah.
way.
It's really side work.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's rarely ever full-time work. It's just
yeah.
sort
yeah.
of picking up here
yeah,
and there.
Yeah, my first school, there was a guy who, I think he was on EBS. He's got like a line of videos now.
Oh, jeez.
Line of videos.
Yeah, but on the weekends he would come up from Chunju and,
okay.
and tape And the school loved it. They were really proud. You know, they put him in all of the advertising.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell my school to do that.
Yeah. Come to our school. You can learn with Matthew. And even after he left for for about a year, I worked there for about a year after him, and he was still prominently displayed in advertising.
Inspired by Matthew.
Be inspired by his memory. No, I think they really led people to believe that he was still there.
Oh.
And that if your kid was really lucky, they could still learn with him.
The Matthew experience.
We're a talent farm. We produce EBS teachers.
Well, no, my school company was called EBS. And it was completely unrelated to EBS, but they always hinted that we were completely related.
It was like the Iwa Hagwan.
Right. Or you know? there's a Yale near
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I think it was a Yale or a Harvard Hagwan. Yeah.
But the Iwa one was sort of, you know, I mean, I thought it was part of the Iwa. Because there's there's an Iwa Girls High School, which I'm assuming is associated with Iwa University, Ide. And so I just thought, well, the Hagwan maybe is associated. And but no, they just stole the name, and Iwa eventually sued. And so they changed it to like...
Oh, wow, someone sued for it. Yay.
Yeah, I know, yeah. They changed it to W. They were the W schools, which now I think have all tanked. Didn't last too long. I don't know. That was a real nightmare, the W schools.
Well, I'm trying to think of other ways. I mean, of course, there's always the private lessons, but these days, I still think that's just too risky.
Yeah, the private lessons. I mean,
how stupid would you feel if you got caught doing that? You got kicked out of the country for trying to make an extra 40,000 won.
But the private lessons are probably the easiest to get in that. You know, if you just hang out in a Starbucks, especially near a university.
I got asked while going grocery shopping.
Yeah
people will
if you live
approach you
outside
anywhere.
Of Seoul. Like, I've had people literally driving down the street pull up onto the sidewalk to ask me to give them private lessons.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not that Korean drivers aren't the world's best or anything. I'm not trying to in any way disparage Korean driving. But if... as long as you're outside of the city, you really can't do anything and not get asked.
Yeah.
You know, I think even if you're a freaky foreigner, you still
get... What's funny is, like, I've turned down every private lesson request. I'm trying to play everything so legal.
Yeah,
I still get in trouble with the law.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always just like... That's my abolish my.
I'm so clean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to teach outside of my school because I just don't want to teach, right?
Well, I'm also put in the lazy factor.
The lazy factor. I mean, I don't mind doing other work, you know, but I just don't want.
When I get home, I'm just so tired. Unless
exactly.
Yeah, unless you know the EBS thing. Yes, I have a visa for it, and it's fun, and it's something I can send home to the family. It's just fun. I just like seeing it. No one watches the show.
Yeah. It's not your day job. It's not the thing you're being really paid every day to do.
It's too much fun. It's a weird, it's a silly little kid's show.
Okay.
I get to dress up like the Matrix. And pretty funny.
What the hell is that show on Arirang? It's like they have this claymation animation.
Oh, the, something show. What's his name? Oh, I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's not only on Arirang, it's all over.
Okay. Yeah. They try to teach cultural points about Korea. And, you know, it's like, today we're going to learn about the Ajumma.
It's like the Arirang show or something.
Stalking the Wild Ajumma. And, you know.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've got to find that. Man, I don't get Arirang.
It's like a little five-minute little segment that will play in between shows. And they usually have these two Weiguks, these two foreigners there to show as examples. And what was it, talking about this one lady? Oh, yeah, they were both at a Pojang Matcha, a little tteokbokki stand. And the lady, the man and a woman, and the woman's eating the tteokbokki, and it's too hot for her. But she's being polite. She has to eat everything. She's being polite. And the Ajumma goes, wow, she must really like it. I will give you more for free. And she's like, oh, I got to eat more and more.
The claymation, they're Ajumma.
Yeah, it's got to be. I think it's the Arari show. The Arari show. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's called.
They're Ajumma, a clay animation character. She's got these little tiny eyes and this very sour face, like she's been sucking lemons, and this tight curled right. Ajuma perm.
The Ajuma yeah. perm.
Does she have the visor?
No, but she always has a mop with her.
Does she have on the white gloves?
Yeah. And the guy's explaining in the, you know, the show about, you know, stalking the wild Ajuma. And where he's like, you know, Korean women are very pretty when they are young. starts it. But then they become Ajumas. But they are still beautiful on the inside. And it was just something very strange about how, like, when you come home to your Ajuma, you know, like, do not greet her effusively. I am home. I am so glad to see you. They do not like that because they are cleaning the dishes. So come in and just very quietly, I'm home, and then go about your business, you know. they like when you throw garbage at them, you know. They're there to serve you. There's nothing pleases them more. I don't know. It was just this very weird, like, don't worry about treating them properly because this is their job and they derive pleasure from their job. The one that was really funny was the, you know, like the bathroom, like using a bathroom in Korea. And so they got the foreigner character they have is always like, he always looks like he's on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yes, yeah. Right. He's like a Wallace and Gromit looking guy.
Yeah. If you remember, oh God, now this is going way back too far.
Oh, go far.
A show called Fridays.
Oh God, that only lasted for so long.
Yeah.
Michael Richards.
Oh yeah, Michael Richards used to play the same character he plays on Seinfeld. He played
in St. Garrett. He played on UHF.
Yeah. And but there was another guy who was this a pharmacist who was always doing his own drugs, and he was always like just like on the verge of, you know, like, did you see that? The colors, the flying balls. But he just reminds me of that character. Anyway, so. So they have all the different scenarios in the Korean bathrooms, like the, you know, you're at the stall and the ajushi standing right next to you and checking you out, you know, and then there's like these shared bathrooms, you know, it's like a washroom, one washroom with urinals, and then the toilet is discreetly marked for the woman.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yes.
Past the urinals. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then of course the, you know, the Ajuma who comes in to clean.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't flinch when they're going between your legs with the mop.
Exactly.
Oh, that reminds me of a funny story a friend told me. One of those times talking about the ajushi trying to check him out.
Oh, yeah. There,
he was flanked on two sides by ajushi.
Oh, jeez.
And they were both really trying really hard to gander a look. So much so they weren't paying attention to where they were aiming at the same time the streams crossed onto his legs.
Don't cross the streams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Coming back to the original topic. Yeah. But I guess, if you want to do, I mean, you know, foreign companies.
Yeah, if you happen to have an engineering degree.
Yeah, exactly.
I've known a couple of engineers here, and they do really well.
Yeah.
They make money hand over fist.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to work in Korean companies where everyone else has to work, you know, 27 hours a day,
yeah.
12 days a week, and, you know, and they're sort of given the evil eye if they think that weekends are not for working, or, you know, that 8 o'clock at night is not a business hour,
yeah.
You know.
That's the other thing, is that the, you know, I'll consider maybe what you're giving up, the grass is greener, that, you know, yes, you're not teaching, you know, snot-nosed little kids who are infecting you every week with something new, but, you know, look at your hours, look at your independence, you know, look at the hand-holding you get versus if you go to a real company, then, you know, then you're suddenly going to be working longer hours.
Yeah.
And Korean companies are much more formal in terms of dress, you know.
Yeah.
You're looking at a suit and tie, and... So,
I think my friend works for an American company here.
All right.
And he gets paid well. He makes a lot of trips outside the country.
Okay.
But yeah, he lives over in the French part of Sacho.
Oh, okay.
Really nice area.
Yeah, that is nice.
My gosh, it's like day and night going in there.
I gotta check that out sometime.
It's just wrought iron gates everywhere.
Really?
Cafes. Just totally just walked into a different world there.
But the the privates. You know, it's like people. I mean, on the rare occasion I've ever taught somebody a private, and it's usually it's like a friend, and I'm like, no, I don't want any money. And they're like, no, here, take money. I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, I would charge like $35 an hour, but there are people here that are like, they want to charge like $50.
Yeah, they keep thinking they can push
$50
it.
$50 an hour for conversation.
And you know what? You can get that, and it'll last for 1 month.
Yeah, exactly. Just insane amounts of money they want to charge, and it's just like, well, and this might be an urban legend, but there was a guy who like would literally charge Koreans to be their friend. You know, if you want to hang out with me.
Yeah. That's such an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the guy was like clearing $100K a year.
Because there are some people I really wish I could have charged.
Well, no, but when I can see his point when there's people that are like, you must be my friend. I want foreign friends. Like, well,
I'll charge you.
Yeah. You think that I must be your friend, then I think that you must pay me.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. This one.
These are great.
This one's actually just outside the Starbucks today. It's a store called Mantos.
I love that.
Yeah. It's like the skipping man.
Looks like John Cleese doing mysterious silly walks.
Yeah, almost, except his right leg is kind of... Yeah, but it almost looks like... What was that movie? Elliot. Not the Chris Elliott show.
Billy Elliott?
Billy Elliott, yeah. Yeah, like he's doing a little Billy Elliott kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, Mantos. But Jennifer, your favorite hag one is called...
My favorite hag one has got to be Toss.
Yeah, Toss Academy or something.
Toss English. It's called Toss English.
Toss
English.
In some cultures that means vomit. I'm going to toss.
My fiancé
In Australia, it's something that men, and especially teenage boys, like to do when they're alone.
Ah, all right, okay, yeah. All right.
You will love this one.
In wee wee.
Coffee and wee wee.
Joe, you have to email that to me. Coffee and wee wee. W-E-W-E. Where did you find
that's
that one?
That's in Bungay in Anyang. We were walking by, and this is actually a sign advertising the place. It's not the actual interior.
No, sweet.
But it's a new coffee place on the Bungay Strip. Coffee and wee wee. I love truth in advertising.
Yeah. This one here. I can't figure it out. I think it's a... it looks like an Arabic woman who's passed out surrounded by bottles of soju, and there's a little dog piddling on her head.
Yeah.
This is a bar.
Yeah. You're piss drunk.
Well, if you notice soju plays prominently in their offerings. The fact that it's mentioned more than once on their sign. Yeah.
Soju and beer, soju cocktail. Beer,
soju cocktail. Well, soju cocktails.
And then there's soju bottles.
So you can have soju by itself, or you can have it as a mixer.
Soju cocktail, which is actually quite a big trend starting up in the States.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
You can buy soju in the States?
Oh, yeah. It's starting to become pretty popular. There's actually an American distributor.
Oh, wow.
Budweiser, I think, took them over. And yeah, Budweiser is trying to distribute soju.
It used to be that the Korean restaurants that I would go to would serve sake.
Yeah, that's because most people know sake, but now soju is the new thing.
It's the new sake.
Well, because it also,
it's dirt cheap.
They're advertising it, they're marketing it as a cocktail mixer.
Oh, okay.
And it's low enough alcohol that in certain states it can be sold in grocery stores.
Really?
Not in liquor stores.
Wow.
I don't understand that whole liquor store thing. Where I live, liquor is rightfully sold everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. I used to work at a pharmacy. We sold more beer than drugs.
And cigarettes.
Yeah. Gas stations.
Well, I lived in,
that's where you buy your beer. They have the best prices.
When I lived in New York State, you can only get beer and malt beverages at the grocery store. You had to go to the liquor store for wine.
When I was in Fort Lewis near Seattle, my first weekend, my first Friday, I was like, let's go make some margaritas. And there was another girl who had just arrived that week as well. We went to the grocery store and we're like, where's your liquor? And the woman looked at us like we were from another planet.
Yeah, in Washington, you have to go to a liquor store.
Yeah, and she was like, our beer is, and I was like, and your liquor is, and she's like, you have to go to a liquor store.
You're so used to Louisiana, because like, you just cross over, to Alabama, and you're going to see some more strict liquor laws.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock on Friday night, the liquor store closed.
Oh.
What the crap is that about? Who buys liquor before 5 o'clock on Friday night?
Really?
You know? Who's like, ooh, it's my lunch hour. I better go buy some liquor.
Well, Ontario's got you all beat. Ontario, only recently have they started allowing wine sales in grocery stores, but it's its own separate standalone shop. All right, so no beer in grocery stores, no beer in convenience stores. To buy beer, you have to go to the aptly named beer store.
I love Canada.
Yeah, it's government owned, the beer store.
Yeah.
And to buy liquor, you have to go to the liquor store, the LCBO, Liquor Control Board of Ontario.
We have Alabama, our liquor store is ironically named the Alabama Beverage Control ABC store.
But I didn't want to tell you what the taxes are on liquor in Ontario.
Really,
yeah, tell me.
Oh, it's insane. It's like, just, you know, like, I don't know, like a cheap bottle of wine. Well, maybe prices have changed. I don't know. But yeah, like $12 for a cheap bottle of red wine was kind of standard back.
But they do at home, so you don't know how high it is. It's the liquor prices already have the taxes added in.
Yeah.
Right, yes. So it's all
a big mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all part of the beverage control.
Oh, but you know, when Louisiana had blue laws, which they had blue laws until I was in high school, you could still buy beer and alcohol after lunch on Sunday.
Okay.
Go to church, get, you know, church is over, time to go home, and then
you can do it in restaurants.
Buy your beer.
Yeah.
Well, even in Ontario, I mean, you know, it used to be the case where, I mean, if you wanted to get alcohol at a restaurant, like there were no bars. It had to be like a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they got around that by having like cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, you had to. I think one of the rules I had to deal with, you had to have over 50% of your sales had to be from food.
Yeah.
Okay, so they closed that little loophole there.
Yeah, that's how
and then a lot of bars had to have like a separate entrance for men. There was a male entrance, and then there was like a women and her escort entrance.
Okay.
Like were they shaped differently?
I don't know, but the women could not use the men's entrance. You know, Ontario was sort of kind of very prudish, British kind of morals up until the
70s. Once I feel Alabama's progressive.
There you go. Man. English t-shirt finds. This one, Dr. Fish Organic Tea.
I love Dr. Fish.
Dr. Fish. You know what the Dr. Fish is?
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, you've been to that. It's the most horrifying thing to me. Do you know this, Jennifer?
I love it. I love Dr.
Lay,
Fish.
Lay it on us, Joe.
Oh, Dr. Fish, one of those great Korean experiences. So you go and you can order your tea or your coffee, and if you want to, you can order 15 minutes of a Dr. Fish. And what you do is you take off your shoes, you wash your feet, and you put them in a tank full of fish. And the fish come and eat the dead skin off your feet.
Yeah. My students have told me about the Dr. Fish. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it. Everyone who puts their feet in there squeals like a little girl. Everyone I've seen. First they put the feet in.
Well, because fish are chewing on you. Oh, yeah.
Love it. That's great. It's the new thing. I have elephant feet. Elephant skin on my feet. I need that.
But I don't know.
So how much is 15 minutes with Dr. Fish?
I don't remember. It was pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Many things are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's like, I just think like, I don't know, tea, bare feet, fish.
Right, skin-eating fish.
Yeah, dead skin. You know, the whole...
I love that.
I don't know.
It's just so... Well, actually, I hear they have that in Germany, too. But to me, this feels like this is such an Asian thing.
Yeah.
It's something you would have seen on Lost in Translation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. After they went to the Nori Bong, they wouldn't have their Dr. Fish.
This underwear kind of jumped out at me. I just saw the used. Like, I mean, I've read about this, but usually in Japan, you know, the schoolgirl panties or something. But then I noticed the get used underwear. Used underwear.
Get used underwear.
But I love the underwear. It's like that little tight, you know, Which is just what they...
No wonder they call them panties.
Yeah, exactly. What they kind of wear here, you know.
Yeah, they do wear the girliest underwear here.
Yeah.
If you go to some of, like, the BYCs and you see, like, some really lacy underwear and you think that's a really odd kind of shape. And then you look around and then there's, like, the male mannequin.
Yeah.
The extremely male mannequin modeling the lacy underwear.
Yeah, my girlfriend once got me some, like... gay bar dancer. Not bikini, but shorts. But they had like little fish gill, little slits in them.
Oh, nice. Jesus.
And I tried to wear them, but oh my gosh.
You lost a little bit of your manhood that day.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize underwear would be that hard to fit into.
Man.
You know what? I haven't seen them in a while, but do either of you remember the boxer shorts that had the stones in them?
Boxers? No.
They had a little pocket
All right.
In the front
uh-huh.
that had a little thing, some kind of stones in them that All were right. like for virility or something.
Oh, geez.
I thought
of course,
it was just like
course.
A little sausage in your pants or something like
right.
that.
I would not be surprised to see that.
It's just like the male version of the butt pads.
Right.
Right.
Underwear with a cucumber holder.
Yeah. So what was the? It's the S line. What's the men? The reverse, reverse B line or something. I don't know. D. I'd be a letter
P line.
The D line. Oh man. From the people who brought us, I love mauling. Now we have Molly Christmas. That's on page 2 of the. Back page. I did it.
Oh,
I did
okay.
it.
Oh, you did a double page.
Yeah, I did a double page.
Molly Christmas.
I photocopied this. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. I came across one a few years ago called Santa Mall. M-A-U-L.
M-A-U-L. Santa Mall.
Which I know what it is. It means Santa Village,
right.
But they literally translated it M-A-U-L.
Oh, they got the mall wrong. Man. And this one, I like this one. A little Christmas wish.
Mally Christmas.
Merry Christmas. No forget. Happy Christmas.
Yeah. No forget being in capitals and Happy Christmas being all lowercase.
Yeah. I'm thinking the main thing is don't forget Happy New Year. I'm thinking, but for some reason they just don't forget.
And don't forget
and
to
Christmas
be happy at Christmas.
Inconsistent capitalization there.
Yeah.
Too.
There's just so many things wrong with that.
Yes.
You lived in Korea too long before when you don't even notice the inconsistent capitalization. Yeah. They capitalize forget, but don't capitalize Christmas.
Yeah, I like this. I saw this in Space Nine, iPark. The your flat screen monitor cozy.
Yeah,
it's like, because when your monitor's not quite warm enough, because you want a really warm monitor.
You want all your electronics to be as warm as they possibly can be, really.
But I'm like,
it looks like you're doing an X-ray of Pooh's stomach.
Yeah. So what is it? It's just basically like a little like tea cozy, but it's like a little. It's like what Disney
That's
character
scary.
Is that?
Scary. Winnie the Pooh swallowed my monitor.
Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. It's like you kind of like put a little jacket around your monitor and it's got
Rumbly
the Winnie the Pooh.
When you're so obsessed with cute that your monitor has to be cutified, then something is a little bit wrong.
This, I think this would really, I mean, it, not like, but if it was like Darth Maul or something like that, that would go over big
Darth
in North
Maul
America
Pooh.
In the software industry.
Yeah, but it would have to not be made of this fabric. Like, this is actually like stuffed animal fabric. It would need to be made of something like mesh or something that would not actually
different, like,
be detrimental to the temperature of your... Electronics.
Like magic screen from Pee Wee's
Playhouse. I'm just looking at that. I'm going, that's a business opportunity. You can, instead of Winnie the Pooh, if you get like Darth Maul, Klingons, that would take off in the software world, I think.
Yeah, Klingonify your monitor.
This one might be a little hard to read because I took it at
this
night.
One, I have this on my blog.
Oh, you do? Okay,
yeah.
Make yourself.
I think I've seen this. Yeah.
Yeah, make yourself. But they actually use the word. But make yourself effing lovely. But it is in Itaewon, so they might actually...
Oh, that's where I've seen it.
Yeah, you have seen it.
It's on Itaewon, but I think like one of the other blogs, well, your blog, but I think I saw it also on Marmot or somewhere. Yeah, they put that on there.
Yeah.
The same day I took this picture, across, like diagonally across the street, 7th Heaven opening, as their grand opening, and they had a big, one of those... banner signs
All right.
that invited ladies to come for an erotic good time.
Man. It was funny. I saw this actually in the Economist magazine. And I just had to hang my head. It's for the Incheon Free Economic Zone.
Okay.
A big full page ad. And it says, what IFES, that's Incheon Free Economic Zone, what IFES needs are business pioneers venturing and witnessing birth from mud to beauty. Like a lotus blossom, IFES rises to beauty. And I'm like,
it sounds like it's a Korean proverb that didn't go well in translation.
Yeah, it's just something that's just...
I can see how that works.
I can see where they're going, but surely even if they typed it in Word, it would have let them know that they did not have subject-verb agreement.
Just something, really.
And really, they could have left the mud part out. They really could have thought of something...
Seed.
Yes, from seed to beauty, or something.
That's where
like that.
Those editing jobs, I guess.
Man, but I'm like, that's the economist.
That's one of those $5 editors.
Yeah, for $5, I would have told them use is.
Yeah.
Change mud.
Page three. There's a big promotion for milk in the Yongsan subway. Yongsan train station, you know, like a little cow, and the kids are taking pictures. But then their milk bar, they've got all this rum, like almost like milk, the perfect mixer, you know. And I'm like,
that's so funny.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice all those little cows. All I saw were all the booze.
Yeah, you can see the little cows in the background. But the kids are all running around like mad, like, ooh, look, little cows and stuff. And it's like, but milk, you know.
Ooh,
and
Bacardi. These,
milk and Bacardi.
Bacardi rum and stuff. Oh, man. Oh, God. Jennifer, did you scare up any English teacher fights?
Actually, I saw one on the way over here, and I was like, I'll write it down as soon as I get there.
But you
and
forgot?
I forgot.
Oh, all right.
It wouldn't be me if I didn't forget the funny thing that I saw.
All right.
In Korean news.
In the news, I saw this in the newspaper. Your copy might be a bit hard to read, but the Hanwha guy, they have a picture of him doing his community service.
You know,
he's avoided the jail time because he's oh so sick.
Yeah.
And so they had this really sad picture of him in like a senior's home, like total photo opportunity. They grab like the oldest guy in the senior's home, like, you know, this guy's just like, kill me, is this man here to release me from, you know, from this mortal coil, send me to my deliverance, please, oh no, you're here to feed me soup, you know, like, and what, why are you putting a Santa's cap on me, degrading me further, you know, so they throw a Santa's cap on this guy.
Well, he's too old and feeble to fight back.
Yeah, and there's the Hanwha guy who's like, I'm not gonna taser him. I'm not gonna taser him.
Don't
tase
me, bro.
I'm gonna wipe his mouth clean. And you can't even make out from the photo, but you know, like the volunteers, they wear like the Walmart greeter smock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, like this park by me, you know, when I go, I do my exercises. Every now, I swear it's like twice a year. Just twice a year, the kids go to the old age home, and then they put on their little smocks, and then they just, you know, wheel the old people around the park, and then they just, you know, wheel them back.
Yeah, they don't really actually interact with them so much as, like, you know, grit their teeth through the day.
Man. Did you read about that survey? They did a survey. They're comparing different, you know, economically developed countries, you know, and who visits their parents and what rate.
I haven't heard this one.
Yeah, and then they found in Korea that the strongest predictor of whether the, you know, the children will visit their aged parents is how rich the parents are. that the very poor parents, their kids don't go see them, and as they become richer, the parents, the kids visit more and more and more, and which is sort of quite a shock to Koreans. They're like, you know, we are such a Confucian culture. We so respect our elders. But yeah, but it turns out the statistics did not bear that out. Man. But we did have a presidential election.
Yes.
Once every 6 years.
Yeah. Who won that? I didn't know who won that.
Yeah. Im Young.
Successful sarcasm.
Im Young Buck. What is the? He used to be the head of Hyundai Construction or something.
Yep.
And maybe, but maybe not, the founder of some investment bank that just manipulated the stock market.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, he worked for Enron?
Yeah. I don't know. There was big controversy right before the election.
Oh, really? All I heard about him was that he was a Marisol. And then he was the one who did the Cheonggye Cheon.
BBK is some type of like shadow company, I think. One of the guys, one of the partners in it is already in trouble.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Manipulating stocks.
And Im Young Buck was saying, well, I have nothing to do with that company.
Yeah.
Came up with a videotape saying, him bragging, oh yeah, I
started
founded it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was trying to play it up like he was on the board, but it's like, which is one of those honorary positions, you know, let's have Neil Armstrong on the board of directors of Coca-Cola or something.
Yeah.
And then there's another video of him going, no, I founded the company. But then he made some big pre-election pledge. He's worth a lot of money. He's like, I don't know, he's worth like $480 million or something. And all the candidates have to declare their net worth, and they even on like the official ballot, like the official notices that went out, they had to say how much they had in savings, and cash in the bank. But they misprinted it and they dropped 3 zeros. So all the candidates looked like they had like $2,000 in the bank. And you're like, geez, these guys aren't very good savers, you know. But no, it's like, I had to add 3 more zeros. All right. Yeah. Couple million bucks in the bank. But so Im Young Buck, he pledged that he would give away all his money. He would keep his house, but he's going to give away all of his money. I don't know if he's going to keep that pledge, but
yeah, I'm not sure the kids will like that.
Yeah, but they call him the bulldozer.
Yeah,
because he did that Cheonggye Cheon, the stream that runs through Seoul. I like the Cheonggye Cheon.
I love the Cheonggye Cheon.
Yeah,
it's nice. And
except for the scary monstrosity I heard that has just been installed there.
Really? What did they put there?
The wedding proposal wall.
The what?
The marriage proposal wall.
Oh, really?
Yes. Expect to see that on your latest Korean drama.
Yes.
And I was warning on my website, men, watch where you walk your women.
All right. So there's, I can see the music video, right? The man and woman, and they're in front of that wall, and the woman starts bleeding from her nose, and then she faints.
And then a gang of toughs attack the man.
Exactly.
I think they're approaching it, and the woman starts getting hopeful, and then they pass it, and he doesn't propose, so she jumps off a bridge.
But there's that other wall.
The same bridge that the wall is on.
But there's
just a 12-foot drop.
There's the other wall, Duxagon Palace by City Hall. That wall, you're not supposed to walk along that wall with your love.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that means you will break up. There's a big superstition. Big superstition about that. Yeah. So, Im Young Buck, he's also the guy that wants to build the canal network all across Seoul, claiming, it will triple.
All across Korea.
Yeah, all across Korea. I do that a lot. Seoul, Korea. I get those mixed up.
Yeah.
It's like people who live in Manhattan.
Busan will be a suburb of Seoul.
It's like people who live in Manhattan, It's like there's something else outside of. I don't know. But, and, it's like, it will triple the Korean economy and make us number 7 in the world. And it's like, what about just rail lines, And isn't Korea technically one big canal? Because you've got the East Sea and the West Sea. And if you want to get stuff to Busan, can't you just load it up in a ship and send it down there?
Right. Why would you have to build a canal down the center of the country when you've got
a very
two oceans
narrow.
And it's... this country is like the size of Florida.
Yeah.
It's not like they're ever that far from the coast.
But apparently, they have a little trouble maintaining where their ships go because they keep ramming into tankers.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was the other big news.
About that.
Yeah, the oil spill off the beach. Someone made a really excellent point. They're like, you look at every beach in Korea and they're just trash pits, you know. Yeah.
Right, how could you tell the difference?
Yeah, exactly. Why is everybody so, oh, we gotta clean the rocks of oil, when it's like just behind the rocks there's everybody's garbage from, yeah, you know, from the party night before, you know. And the guy, this foreign guy's like, are we cleaning up all the, you know, the medical waste, you know? And they're like, no, we're just here to clean the oil.
Yeah.
Well, what about all, you know, what about the plastic beer rings?
I'm also reading a lot of people are getting sick. A lot of people cleaning up are getting sick.
Yeah. But I don't know, it's the new, But I'm just glad it wasn't an American oil tanker.
No doubt.
Oh, my
American
God.
American military vessel. God.
Oh, God. But the best presidential candidate, number 8.
Yeah, with the hair.
Yeah. Hugh Kyung-young. My friend, the woman who does the voiceover for the podcast, her 5-year-old son, he knows all the candidates by name. Well, the election's over, but he knew all the candidates by name and number. If you give him a number, number 3, he would tell you. Number 10, he would tell you. You just sit there and, like, study it. He's good with the numbers, this little boy. You know, he's like 5 years old, and you go to the bookstore, he goes right for the math books.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, don't be a stereotype, you know? I don't know. It's football. Football.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. But this guy was like a nut bar. There was an interview with him. Well, he was a nut bar, but then you realize maybe he's not so nutty. But here, let me quote the interview. He says of himself, "Like a light from the east, I have appeared for this era, and since I can see the future, I have planned my internet strategy way back in the past." So I guess he's like, what's his name? Al Gore. No, he invented the internet.
Yeah.
And he says, "With my 430 IQ, I can control the spiritual domain." He has a 430 IQ.
And so then, he's the second coming, basically.
Yeah, basically. And then he says that he's read all these religious scriptures, but they're crap.
Yeah.
That he is going to be the Word made flesh, basically. Where did I hear that before? And on his party's funding, it doesn't even make sense. The party's regional offices raise the needed funds on their own and send them to the party's central headquarters whenever it is needed. The regional branches exist because of my spiritual abilities. Oh, okay.
And so then he's prayed them into being?
Basically.
Okay.
And then what he's going to do if he's elected president. After I become president, I hold a national election with the aim of boycotting the local elections on April and reducing the number of seats in the National Assembly to 100. I don't know. I'll also get rid of direct elections for local offices and political parties. I'll also change the constitution so the president can run for another term.
And then we'll create clone troopers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then he has got this plan to move the UN headquarters, you know, which is in New York, Manhattan,
yeah, right,
to Panmunjom, which is
the DMZ.
Yeah, which is a rice paddy. If the UNHQ is moved to the Panmunjom, 500 organizations will move with it, which means their economy will grow threefold.
And I don't see any way that the UN could object to that.
Or the organizations. I mean,
right.
Would you move out? Wouldn't you move out of Manhattan for a rice paddy in North Korea?
On the DMZ.
Yeah.
Sure. Wait. Is there some real estate available in Afghanistan?
What's that?
That might be a viable option as well.
And I'm thinking, okay, this guy sounds like a nut bar, but then I'm thinking, imagine him as a Hagwon owner.
He's also the guy that was saying that Park Chung-hee's daughter, the one who was running against Lee Myung-bak for party nomination, said that she was going to be his future wife.
Oh, great. She's not a shape-shifting space lizard, though? No, all right.
She could be. She hides it well.
But this guy, I'm thinking, all right, imagine him, he's a Hagwon boss, all right? So, 430 IQ, he thinks he knows a lot more than he actually does. Like, no, I studied English 1 year in New York.
When I was 12.
Yeah, exactly. I was like some guy, he was working at a Hagwon, and his boss gave him a Christmas play to edit. He wrote the Christmas play to the boss. And so he's like, you know, it's just crap, you know. So he edits it, fixes the sentence structure, gives it back to the boss, and the boss is angry. You've really? Changed my work of art, really? You know?
Right?
Oh, my God. So he's like, all right, whatever. So the boss, we're going to do it my way, you know? Springtime for Hitler, you know? I don't know. So, that, I mean, that totally something right out of, what's that? What's that Broadway play?
The Producers.
Yeah, The Producers. Right on The Producers. All right. So the guy thinks he knows more than he does, right? And, you know, he wants to bring the – he thinks it's just easy to bring the UN to a rice paddy, right?
But so, with his spiritual abilities, he's able to have so many election offices, you know?
Something like that. Well, yeah, with his spiritual abilities, he can – just use his ability to bend space-time and the minds of everyone in the UN and have them say, you know, this Manhattan is so convenient.
A little too convenient.
A little too convenient. We need to work for it.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, okay, so like your Hagwon boss has got this distorted idea of like, yeah, foreigners just want to come to like some little town in Korea and work. You know,
and maybe get paid.
And maybe get paid.
If I feel like
it. And then he's like, well, how does he raise funds? Well, it's just his spiritual abilities conjures into existence. So, you know, like your Hagwon boss, just a vague sense of where do I get money for this venture, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, again, he's like, I'm going to win this election, you know, and again, your Hagwon boss. Just
I'm
no
going to be successful.
Yeah, no idea, you know, totally
no
misjudges
yeah.
misjudges his chances for success.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this explains a lot, you know, it's like, oh man.
This guy or some of his close relatives have owned many Hagwon in Korea.
Basically, yeah.
I see other people with successful Hagwons. I know I'm very smart, and I studied English for a week and a half 18 years ago.
And I have a 430 IQ.
Yeah, I have what it takes. Yeah,
my theory on the 430 IQ is he went on the internet, and he took one of those internet IQ tests, and he took it four times, and then he just added it together.
Right.
Added it all together.
That's why I think he gets the 430 IQ.
I don't know. I felt pretty good after taking one. It said I was qualified for Mensa. Woohoo.
Well, there you go.
Yay.
My theory on those internet IQ things is they, you know, the free ones, is they artificially inflate your score.
Oh, so they must.
What's that?
They must.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
I mean, if you actually take the test, it's several hours long.
Yes, exactly.
It involves, you know, you're questioned by a trained professional. Someone with a PhD, or a 10-minute internet test.
Exactly. But okay, here's the thing. It's a scam, right? So you do the free online test. You're like, oh my God, I got 140 IQ. I didn't realize I was that smart. This then makes you want to take the paid test.
Yes.
Just, you know, to confirm. See, this is why they would bump up your score. Because if they're saying, no, you're 105. You're just slightly above average. Then you're going to be like, well, why do I want to take the paid test? Yeah.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity of the week. Which one's like?
It's that time of year.
Yeah. 25 positions in Gangnam, Apgujeong, Cheongdam. How do you pronounce that? Seocho? Gyeongpo. I don't know what those places are. Bundang.
I wonder if it's supposed to be Seocho.
Seocho.
And they just left out the O.
Ah, maybe.
But yeah, because that's Apgujeong. Yeah, Gangnam, Apgujeong. That's all in the same general area.
Yeah.
Seocho.
Yeah.
Bundang. Nowon.
Ilsan.
Ilsan's totally in a different area.
Yeah. Ilsan, is that
northwest?
Northwest. Line number three, if you follow, not line number three.
Yeah,
way up
my
to the
best
end.
Friend in Korea lives over there.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
But, is it something called Apex Recruitment? suyoung.ko@gmail.com suyoung.ko@gmail.com Post a lot. Well, that was funny. She posts a lot of like reference letters, people who have used her.
Well, I'm reading also here. I think it's man.
Is that a man? Suyoung.
Because they say he. They said he.
Oh, Suyoung. All right. I just saw the.
I know it sounds like a woman's name.
Yeah.
That's who true. Am I supposed to know?
A boy named Sue. All right, so Sue, he. A boy named Sue. Yeah, I guess. All right, so he. Does his first letter even use a pronoun? Sue Young can do this. Sue Young can do this.
Are you talking about the reference letter?
Yeah, the very first reference letter. I'm just trying to think
of... I love the reference letter. If you don't trust anyone or you're reading this and think that I'm fake, don't hesitate to contact me.
Where?
So I can lie to you on the phone. Like, yeah. Why would I, you know...
All right, the second letter, the guy uses the pronouns. Okay. Right. He is serious about... Okay, so it's a guy. All right, so yeah. But long and short of it, a lot of just your basic sort of standard... jobs, but many in several good areas. Recruiter might be a decent person if these letters are
if these are true.
Yeah, if these letters are true.
But I like the final sentence in the first letter. I've lived in the U.S. for 22 years, so I can assure you everything is on the up and up.
If you can't trust an American, who can you trust?
Indeed.
Exactly.
I've lived in the U.S. for 22 years.
I'm incapable of lying after living in the U.S. for 22 years.
So he's 24 years old.
But his email... KGB.Kramer. No way a Korean who's just trying to fudge up something would ever pick the KGB.Kramer. I don't know.
KGB Kramer.
But the first letter, that was funny because he's sort of bad-mouthing, like, you know, YBM.
Yeah.
But then the jobs offered are for YBM.
Yeah. I did a double take when I saw that.
Judiciously pick and choose the reference letters he prints with different job ads. But you know what I noticed is that when the WAN is doing well, as it is now, the wages are printed in dollars.
Oh, right, okay.
When the WAN is not doing well, the wages are posted in WAN. Like, you will never see wages posted
in... I haven't noticed that.
Like, when I first came to Korea and the won was still doing pretty poorly, you would never have seen ads posted in dollars. Because, you know, people would be like, ooh, $1,200 a month.
Yeah, jeez.
Sign me up.
I know that, 2 million. Remember a long, long time ago, one of my Korean friends, she was in Toronto, and I'm like, well, how much she get paid? So she cites some figure, like, I don't know, it's like, say, 2 million won. And I'm like... well, how much is that? You know, I don't know what that is. And so then I'm thinking, how do I figure that out? Then I'm like, well, how much is a Big Mac in Korea? So she tells me how much a Big Mac is. And then I calculate, well, how many Big Macs could I buy with her salary? How many Big Macs could I buy with my salary? That gave me an idea. And so then, like, a few years later, I find that, you know, The Economist has a thing called the Big Mac Index, where that's what they literally do.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, to sort of compare, called purchasing power. Parity, comparing, like, you know, different currencies and you know, actually using the Big Mac. The idea being, you know, a Big Mac is made with the same labor, the same materials, needs the same store, everything is roughly the same. So if you compare, you know, where you could take your currency and get the cheapest Big Mac, and that might tell you something about the...
So where can we get the cheapest Big Mac?
Oh, probably, I don't know.
India?
Shanghai, I don't know. I'll have to check that out. But yeah. I independently arrived at something, you know, The Economist, these PhDs arrived at. And I only have 105 IQ. Can you believe it?
Is that from the internet test?
Yeah. Well, the internet test was higher. That's why I'm like, I'm skeptical. I'm like, no, there's no way my IQ is that high. I think if I did take one of those actual tests, I'd get, you know, I'd be 105. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Anyone see that lawyer's response to all the bitching about?
Yeah, I posted it on my website.
Oh, in the Korea Times, the Korean lawyer who was like. They made him a big thing, like, oh, he was a New York lawyer.
That was one of those hilarious letters. It sounded like it would just be from that presidential candidate.
Yeah. But he was like...
He was so arrogant.
Well, the Korean Times is sort of billing him like he was this big practicing New York lawyer. But if you looked, someone found out when he was called to the New York bar, he was called in 2007. Not like he's been practicing American law for an awful long time.
So he's only been a member of the bar.
But he's touting his credentials already.
Yeah, yeah.
This calendar year.
Yeah.
It was funny. He used logical fallacies to prove that he was a logical person.
What was his big logic?
Oh, he said something like, it is easy for people to get emotional, and that's why, unlike me, you are well trained in logic.
Oh, all right, okay.
So, in other words, using one of those logical fallacies of implying, since he's trained in logic, implying that his opponent is not.
Ah, okay. Well, I did notice that at the end, he starts to make an appeal to emotion. Like,
yeah,
he's like, basically, it's like, well, I just want to say, if all you people don't want to abide by this new law, you just go to Japan and China and don't abuse our children.
Well, he's also begging the question. What was it he was saying? Oh, see, I always get blank. He was getting onto that first guy who's arguing against about making all these assumptions. All
right.
And then later on he says, it's safe to assume that most E2 visa holders will be okay with these rules.
Yeah. But maybe he was addressing a couple points that maybe were valid about, you know, okay, maybe the waiting times for the police check aren't as long as the other writers have been, the other people writing letters to the editor are saying, you know, there's way, you know, you can go online and, you know, get a police check online, blah, 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 blah.
And that's true.
But he should have stopped there.
He killed his argument by his arrogance.
Yeah. And then there was the thing about the Christopher Neal, where he's trying to say that without saying it, he's like, well, we detected him, you know, with a fake degree. Like, he wasn't, he's trying to say that the Korean immigration somehow detected him.
On my website.
Yeah.
It's
what,
like,
did
again,
they detect?
Again, we're using CPN as a reason for these rules, when these new rules will not change him coming in the country at all.
He would have still gotten a job. He still would have been fine.
He had a clean criminal record. He came in on an E7 visa. And if he came in on a bad diploma, we already have stuff in place now to check.
They should. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, wait, wasn't immigration the ones who let him walk out of the country scot-free?
Right.
Yeah.
When there was an Interpol, you know, after him.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's another good
point. Oh, no, that's just another white guy with the same name and date of birth.
I'm glad.
It's not me. Oh, well, okay, see you later.
Oh, we're supposed to protect Thai children? No, we're just protecting the Korean children.
Yeah, those Thai children are—they're all working at brothels anyway, so screw them.
But it occurs to me, it's like they're approaching this from, like, I mean, gosh, a half-assed approach, right? I liken it to this, you know, the broken windows theory, where, you know, it's like, you're gonna get marginal types coming in here regardless, all right?
Yeah.
That they've never committed a crime. They've managed, to get a BA at some university, right? These are not hard things for marginal people to accomplish, all right?
Yeah.
Right? Now, if they come to Korea and they see it's a free-for-all, you know, their boss is a drunk and, you know, and doesn't obey contracts, is trying to rip them off, you know, if the
an environment that can bring out some of your lesser
features. If the Hagwon industry itself is corrupt, you know, and you look around and there's trash everywhere and school buses are running red lights, you know what I mean? There's a broken windows everywhere. You are going to be, well, when in Rome, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be the marginal type who decides, the school's not holding itself to a high standard. They don't care about the education. They don't care, there's no curriculum. They don't care about my contract. They don't care about my broken pipes in my apartment. My boss is a drunk, you know? He forces everyone to booze or wear short skirts like that one boss. You know what? Why should I hold myself to a high standard? So it's always like, we're to blame. We're the problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, why don't they just clean up the Hagwon industry? Why don't they direct their attention there? If they clean that up, hold them to a higher standard, then they will hold teachers to a higher standard, and teachers will hold themselves to a higher standard.
They keep saying that they're going to do it, but they keep not.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it's easier to blame the foreigners anyway.
The broken windows thing is like the idea that it's like New York, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you see you know, subways full of graffiti and broken windows and porn theaters, you know, you don't care about your own neighborhood and you're more likely to let things slide, commit small crimes, things build up. But, you know, if everything's bright and shiny and lights and classical music, then, you know, that you develop a sense of pride about your neighborhood, you hold yourself to a higher standard, you hold your neighbor to a higher standard, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of one way New York really cleaned itself up, is it just got rid of, quote, the broken windows. So if Korea wants to clean up us, they first have to clean up Korea.
Yeah.
Trying to clean us up without cleaning up the other half is just stupid. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there certainly are teachers that come here and become bitter because they work for such a, you know, an egregiously bad company or boss. You know,
because there's so many good things about being here. But a lot of people have such bad experiences because they run across all these used car salesmen and become hogwad owners.
Exactly, and it's easy to see how someone can get bitter. And some people, when they get bitter, they respond by, you know, what can I do to get back at them? What can I do to, you know, screw somebody else?
Yeah.
You know,
drinking. They start drinking a lot, right?
Yeah. You know, and so that doesn't help.
No, well. What's that?
I love yourself. Your confirmation.
You're not ugly.
All the time.
Okay.
I keep looking at myself. All right. Yeah.
Joe's just looking at the stickers I have on my laptop. But yeah, for some reason, whenever I get I love the monitor cozy. Like whenever I get a laptop, I just start putting stickers on my laptop. And what was that? What was that? That company MMMG. Some Korean stationery company called MMMG.
Okay.
I don't know, but those are stickers from MMMG. Yeah. And cute stickers. But that is our show. Jennifer Cotiso. We're coming up on January.
January. I believe it's the 19th. It's the third Saturday. It's an idea sharing workshop,
all right,
which is always a really good time. If you have something that was really successful in your class, then just bring the idea, and we all just share successful lessons that we've taught, and everyone has a good time.
Cool. Joe, do you have
I guess it's safe to make the announcement. Korea Herald's starting a new section called Expat Life, where they're bringing in all the best bloggers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so, including me.
Okay,
so
good.
I'll be doing the food section.
Ah, great.
Other people like Expat Jane and the Marmots will be doing sections.
The Metropolitan?
So far, no.
Okay.
But he's so busy with everything. He does stuff for Seoul Magazine, though.
Okay. Is he a university professor?
I don't know.
You're right.
That shows you how bad of a friend I am. I don't really ask people what their jobs are. My fiance is always thinks I'm a bad friend because I don't ask people how old they are.
Yeah. What religion they are, why they don't have children.
What's his blood type? She'll ask me the questions until I run out of answers. So, look into the Korea Herald starting next month. Well, starting January.
All right.
Expat Life. It's a whole new section
okay,
of
good.
The paper.
I noticed one of the newspapers, that if it was Korea Times, Korea Herald, for a very short amount of time, they had like an English t-shirt finds. Where they did
really?
Like signs at really bad English. But I think they must have stopped that probably because they got too many complaints from businesses.
They probably had something in there that was actually an advertiser.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Something like that. Man.
You know, I kind of like Expat Jane's blog, but she really doesn't much seem to like us Hagwon teachers, I have to say.
Really?
Oh, she just goes off because she just comes across a lot of really bad people.
What does she do? What is her job?
Well, so she's always down on this, but she's always talking about me. I mean, everything, all the people she's talking about, and then she knows me, and I'm like, I'm an English teacher with... I'm a Hagwon English teacher with a Korean girlfriend.
She's
always down on
she's
English teachers.
Some
with
kind
Korean
of
girlfriend.
Brainiac.
Yeah, she is very smart. She's Ivy League or...
Yeah. I think she's actually here studying.
Right, yes.
She just graduated from EWA.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently all of us on E2s are all a bunch of morons who can barely tie our shoes.
I think she's not aiming it at you. She's more aiming it at the Dave's ESL crowd.
Yeah.
There are some idiots on there.
Yeah. I don't go there. I just can't go there.
Yeah,
it
when I first came to Korea,
every time I go there.
When I first came to Korea, I would go on there a lot, but then I just had to stop. I was like, these people are a bunch of idiots.
They are. They are. They don't leave their little abode. They don't leave their little computers. They mentally have not left their mother's backyard.
Right. In their mind, they're still living in the basement.
I'm there, and I love fighting with them. Like, if you followed me there, you'd be like, my God, Carl is the nastiest person in the world.
Are you?
Yeah.
Am I the nastiest? He must be molesting me every time. I post, like, once every 6 months.
What's that?
They kind of deserve it, though. The people that are like, I hate Korea, they don't speak English. You know, like the problem with Korea is that it's not an English-speaking country.
But it's a good source of...
I don't like hot food.
Yeah.
My school didn't provide me with an oven. I'm blacklisting them.
Why do I have to work Christmas Eve? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Right.
What are you going to do on Christmas Eve? I worked on Christmas Eve.
What did you do Christmas, by the way, Jennifer?
I had lunch at Sortino's, which was absolutely lovely.
Everyone was going down to Itaewon.
I met some
everyone was talking
there.
About all the great lunches. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, that was my first time to go to Sortino's, and I have to say, a little pricey, but very delicious.
I had my Carl's final Christmas Eve wine and cheese party at my school.
Yeah. Chocolate cheese?
No, like legitimate cheese, like, you know, brie.
Oh.
And you know, but you gotta teach Koreans how to eat brie. It's like, because the rind stuff on the outside, you don't eat that. You kind of scoop it out. It's a soft cheese, you know. I love that. And
I don't know. I think I'd let them eat the rind just for the joy of watching them do it.
But last year I brought in red wine and they didn't like the red wine. So this year I'm like, I'm gonna take a page out of the tomato juice. And so I made sangria.
I
made sangria. It's just, you know, like wine, cider, you know, what we call here cider, just ginger ale, you know.
Could have gone over some wild vines.
Lemons, yeah. Oh, they love the sangria there.
Oh, it's wine plus fruit and sugar.
Basically.
Find the sweetest red wine you can find and add some more sugar.
Yeah.
Add some anchovies and you got a hit.
but they got me Christmas gifts too. That was nice.
They?
Yeah. They're nice people, you know. If they're not like take. So yeah, they know Carl will do something nice for us. We'll do something nice for Carl.
That's great.
I got some milk tea for Christmas.
Really?
From one of my students.
Are you gonna drink it?
Actually, I like milk tea.
Oh, I was gonna ask you for it.
I'll bring some next week and we'll just have to have some hot water.
I always get the Lipton milk tea. The you know, it comes in the little tubes.
Mine's Japanese brand, so I'm kind of curious how it's gonna be. But I got a huge box. I wanna say it was like 12 bars of like glycerin soap.
All right.
Which I don't really use glycerin soap. Oh,
man. So. Listerine soap?
No, glycerin.
Glycerin
soap. The clear soap from the fancy little soap shops.
Yeah.
So I've already got a friend who's like re-gifted to me. That's what I usually do.
I made my gingerbread cookies again this year.
Good job.
But I think I added too much ginger. Oh, most of the kids didn't like them this year. They're like, you know, the classic like... I will pretend to eat it to be polite.
I'm pretty sure gingerbread cookies to them taste like Chinese medicine. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably so.
I just finally this year, my fiance likes eggnog this year.
Where can you get eggnog?
I make my own eggnog.
Oh, you my
rat
goodness.
Bastard.
ZenKimchi.com. Look for my eggnog recipe.
All right, Joe's almost like home.
Next week's snack of the week should be homemade eggnog.
Oh, another great recommendation for survival tip for being in Korea while your family's at home during Christmas time. Should have thought of this earlier. What the Book.
Okay.
Family can order books from them.
All right.
It's delivered straight to you, usually for no shipping if you order big enough. Yeah, so I got tons of books for Christmas.
My family usually gets me credit on Amazon.ca.
See, my family used to do that, but I told them to stop because the shipping makes me so angry. When I buy a $5 book, it's got $8 for shipping.
Just buy it from What the Book.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're supporting a local Weiguk trying to make ends meet here. You know.
Oh, but didn't he kill that guy?
Oh, Chris?
Shauner.
That was
another reason not to be at Dave's ESL Cafe.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. But they were claiming he killed that guy.
He killed a Korea Life guy.
Yeah, some guy who committed suicide. He's like, you used to make fun of him. so you killed him.
I didn't think it was Chris they were talking about. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, a lot of idiots on that.
I mean, really, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a really nice guy. Yeah. So, yeah, you definitely, like, if you're nice to him and you're not, like, spooky, you know, like, yeah. You go in, you order your books, right? You buy your books.
Yeah.
He looks at your books, talks to you about your books, asks you questions, you respond. You go, all right, bye-bye.
Yeah,
right.
I usually do mail order because it really is. It's so cheap. Right.
But if you go in there and you're just like, I'm going to be your friend, you know, like, then he's like, all right, you're weird.
So that was my, I got some, heavy, heavy packages. Yeah. And that was such a great solution because now, like, more of my family sent me gifts this year.
But Amazon.ca, I think, I tried to get books delivered and they just kept not being able to ship to Korea. Like, I kept getting rejected by Korean customs. I have no idea. And they couldn't explain to me. I'm like, well, what is on the package? I don't know. You make no record of the message on the package, why the books are being rejected. Because Amazon.com can ship them no problem.
You gotta stop ordering the hardcore porn.
No, I don't know. Oh, speaking of hardcore porn, you know, on my YouTube,
Oh no, your YouTube,
the Go Korea YouTube thing I have where I upload, you know, one show I was talking about this the Japanese bikini wrestling thing.
Yeah.
And so just with my digital camera, I sort of recorded a few seconds of the bikini wrestling just to so I could link to it.
Yeah.
And so it's got like 23,000 views or 20,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite, the one I really like is that, you know, how not to die on the streets of Seoul, you know, safe walking or something.
Yeah.
Defensive walking in Seoul. Yeah, which has got in him. It's got like 2,000 or something.
That's good. I mean, that's actually posted on a few blogs.
Yeah. But I'm like, she's the bikini Japanese. She's like, I guess you want to get anything, get hits. Just Japanese bikini wrestling.
My one thing was my one big hit. I have tons of videos about Korea. One is called Korea Legs.
All right.
And I was just over at Salaksan Park and in November, and there's this one woman there with the shortest miniskirt.
Oh, Jesus.
Hiking the mountains in the shortest miniskirt.
Of course.
So heels. I just go shamelessly just zoom in. I do slow motion.
It sure does make riding escalators interesting
it
here.
It is so, as an astronomically ridiculous number of hits. I put that on Rever.com. It's giving me so much money.
But see, I'm pissed off they got rid of the elevator ladies. I loved the elevator ladies. You weren't here for the elevator ladies. Oh, like the department stores, they had the most beautiful women in the elevators. And their job was to press your floor button. And then with these sort of laced gloves, they would make sure the door doesn't close on you. And they're very tall and very beautiful and dressed like French models. And you would just, I got to go up a floor. I'm going to take the elevator. Hello. Yeah. But then those damn feminists, they complained and they got rid of them. They're like, this is sexist. So they took all the elevator ladies and they made them dance in miniskirts in front of the parking lot. That apparently is not sexist. But the elevator ladies are dressed like elegant women. That was sexist. So.
That was sexist.
Yeah.
Well, it's sexist because, you know, they're having to push that button.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they're dancing, then, you know, men could do that.
I just wish they could just get the ajumma out of the bathrooms.
Someone that's like mopping your feet while you're sitting in the toilet.
But my school has changed names again.
How frequently does your school change names?
Well, I don't want to tell the names. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 times in 4 years.
5 times in 4 years.
Avoid some type of tax or legal issue.
I think we're just acquired by new owners.
Oh, you're just acquired by new.
Yeah, new owners. You know, I would almost job opportunity of the week have my job as a job opportunity of the week, except the new owners, and new owners can mean anything.
Yeah.
So I could tell somebody it's the easiest job in the world.
Oh no, and your reputation will be shot.
Yeah, and then but the moment you come, it's now it becomes you know a sweat farm. You know.
Oh no, and they'll say bad things about you.
Exactly.
Your days.
I know. Totally will. Yeah.
Your life is ruined, Carl.
When I go back to Canada, I'm like, I'm never gonna be on Dave's when I go back to Canada because I hate that people are on Dave's who have like, I've not been in Korea 3 years, but I'm here to fight all these old battles. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you used to steal my whores, you know, and I hate you. Well, the guy who owns What the Book, he's either some other guy who Dave's hates him, just hates him.
He gets attacked.
Yeah, because I guess when they were younger, you know, when they're single, you know, they would, you know, the bar whores, they were, you know, he was always stealing them. I don't know. So, yeah, so it's just like, well, and because Korea changes so much, if you've been away for a year, you can't tell anybody anything useful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But then I'm like, oh, Jesus, with all this new visa regulations, I got to find out, like, how's this gonna play out? Is there going to be a huge shortage? So I don't know. So I'm like, maybe something I'll have to pop back
I'm
in
really
eventually.
Curious about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't
as
know.
As soon as they can get those embassies in line, getting them to do immigration's bidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once the embassies all want to do a lot of extra work for us, not that we can get our own embassies
the trouble is,
to do
right.
extra work
they're
for us.
Not well trained in logic. Yeah. Until we get well trained enough in logic to understand.
Right. Why foreign embassies would want to do.
Stop going for emotional issues.
Any New Year's Eve plans?
No.
Sleep.
Yeah.
I never do anything.
Oh, another one. You know, I used to do a column from the a column for the Toronto paper, computer column. A couple of years up to year two, Y2K, I started getting a lot of email from people like, should I be worried? And my forum response was always, this is how I'm going to spend New Year's Eve. I'm going to spend it in my basement alone looking at my things. But that is the way I spend all of my New Year's Eve. So do not read too much into that.
Yeah, that's basically been it. Almost every New Year's Eve for me has been just one big disappointment.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I
hate New Year's Eve.
My most exciting one was when I lived in Germany and I went to a party by the chiropractor of the Scorpions.
Awesome.
I was what, 18 years old. I got
one of those. At that time, the Scorpions were really big.
They were just coming down a bit. Yeah, yeah.
What was their big song? Love Hurts.
Oh, I don't know.
Rocky like a hurricane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And let us not forget when the wall came down. Winds of Change.
Winds of Change. Yeah. So yeah, that was one of those parties when I was old enough to drink in Germany, but not old enough to learn how to control my alcohol. That was the time I woke up the next morning with my head in the toilet and I couldn't find my pants.
Germany does that to teenagers. Foreign teenagers, once you haven't grown up like that.
But I'm just glad it's a Monday night so I can just go home after work.
Just collapse. After Christmas, for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the other teachers didn't come to work.
All right.
And so I was the only teacher.
All right.
I had all the students together. Plus, because that's not fun enough, from 9 to 1:30 in the morning, I was teaching SAT classes.
Oh.
So from 9 to 1:30 I had SATs, and then from 2:30 to 8:30 I had every student. And then sat yesterday. Because of Christmas, I had to teach the SAT students their makeup day.
Oh.
And then when that finished at 1:30, the other teachers came and I had to give them all their books and train them up for the winter camp, which took 2 hours.
All right. On that happy
glad
note.
For you.
Everyone should feel bad for me. Poor me.
I just started my vacation. I got hit with a massive fever.
My last vacation, I was sick in bed for 5 days. And it was a one-week vacation. I was really not pleased.
Yeah.
All right. That's our show. Happy New Year, I guess.
Happy New Year.
www.gokorea.info. gokorea@gmail.com. Bye-bye.
Bye.
the diamonds bright. There'll be days that will excite and make you dream of me.